Pastor John will bring his message this morning from Romans 1, 18 through 23. If you have your Bible with you, if you'll open and read along with me. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Please pray with me. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for how it stands the test of time, Father, for how it is so relevant even today, so long after you inspired it to be written, Father. Father, we pray for John as he comes forward. We pray that you would give him the words to speak to us, that he would be bold, but that he would also, Father, through your words, strengthen us in our relationship with you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, Westminster. It's good to see you all this morning. We're just going to jump right in. The double baptisms and other things. I'm just going to get right to the point. I don't have a fancy illustration to draw you in or to kind of get your minds thinking. We're just going straight to the point this morning, which is this. Thanksgiving is serious business. Now, we show that here at Westminster once a year, one Sunday out of 52, we have a Thanksgiving sermon every year. And the fact is not every church does that, but we think it's very important that we take time each year to think about, to ponder upon Thanksgiving. And of course, if you look at the Scriptures, Thanksgiving is throughout the Scriptures, both by example and by command. You can read the Old Testament narratives. There's examples of Thanksgiving. You can read the Psalms. There we see examples and expressions and commands of Thanksgiving. You can read the prophets. You see it there. You see it in the Gospels. Jesus speaks about Thanksgiving. You can see it in the book of Acts. You can see it in the letters that are written. Even in the book of Revelation, there is Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a dominant theme in the Scriptures. It's serious business. It's something that God is concerned about. And we generally say an amen to that. We agree that Thanksgiving is something that we ought to be doing. We agree and say that we have much to be thankful for. We agree that this should be part and parcel of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And yet my concern as I think about my own heart, and I'm sure it's similar to yours, is while on the outside I might be singing the song, I think, which was our musical meditation this morning, that my heart is filled with thankfulness, that often when I look in my heart, I actually don't find much thankfulness there. Instead, more often than not, I find complaint. I find bitterness. I find a desire for more than what I have. I find envy and jealousy. And so I began to ponder, why is that? Why is it that though we can profess and give some level of intellectual agreement that Thanksgiving is a big deal? And when I'm talking about Thanksgiving, I'm not talking about the meal that you're having on Thursday, the shopping that you'll do on Thursday. I'm not talking about that aspect of it, although that is an expression of it. And so I began to think, what keeps me from being thankful? And that's really what leads us to our passage this morning. We're not going to do a full exegesis of the passage. I know some of you are kind of like, wrath and unrighteousness. This is kind of a strange Thanksgiving sermon passage. Generally here at Westminster, we preach through books of the Bible. this is what we call a topical sermon. And so you get about a handful of those a year. This is one of them. But if you go to the passage in Romans, I think one of the things we find in terms of why we find thankfulness such a struggle is we see that in some ways it's at the core of our natural sin nature. We confess here that we are sinners. And when you begin this passage and it starts talking about the wrath of God being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, our minds probably go to 10,000 different places about what that unrighteousness and ungodliness looks like. We can think of all kinds of horrible sins, the sins of our own hearts, the sins of our own actions, the sins of our own mouths, the things that we see others do, the things we see happening in our world. We can come up with all these things. And yet when you get to verse 21, when God wants to get to the heart of this ungodliness, this unrighteousness, what does he say? For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God, and they didn't give thanks to him. That's how serious thanksgiving is that God, through the Apostle Paul, says that underneath and at the heart of most sin is a lack of honoring God and a lack of thanksgiving. The lack of thanksgiving that we see in ourselves is not some minor, trivial, kind of not important thing. God says it's at the heart of our struggle with sin is that we are not a thankful people. And you can go back to Genesis 3, to Adam and Eve in the garden, and you can see that. Eve acknowledges, as she looks around, that God has given them every tree of the garden. It's theirs. They have so much to be thankful for. I mean, everything is theirs except one tree. They can't eat of that one tree. And instead of saying, I'm so thankful for all of this that I can forego and live in freedom with regard to that tree, in temptation, Eve and then Adam eat. Because of saying, I have so much bounty, they go, what's the one thing that I lack? Because they lacked thankfulness for all that God had given them and instead obsessed about and fixated on the one thing they couldn't have. Are we any different? Most of us have so much. Yet we spend our time thinking about the new gadget, the new phone, the new toy, the new car, the bigger house, the better job. And in doing so, we often lose sight of so much of what God has given us because we get tunnel vision on the one thing that we think we're lacking. And so at the very heart of our struggle with sin, I believe, is this struggle with being thankful. You know, I look at books I read. You all know I'm Narnia, so everybody gets their Narnia fix today. You know, I look, and I was thinking about Edmund. You all know Edmund from The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and Voyage of the Dawn Treader, Prince Caspian. But we meet him in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And he's just, you know, why is he that way? I mean, as much as I know, sometimes it's hard. I mean, he has a brother. He has two sisters. He has a mom and dad. He's safe during wartime. He gets this wonderful castle that he can go and explore in. He gets to go to Narnia. And if I got to go to Narnia, I'd be real excited. But if you read the book, I went back and read it this week. When he gets into Narnia, if you read Lucy's experience, her first time in Narnia versus Ed, it's very different. I think most of us, after we got out of the freak out stage of being in Narnia, I think when we were there, we'd be like, this is awesome. I'm so glad to be here. I'm so thankful to be here. This is great. But Edmund, he's kind of, very soon he's trapped in that wickedness. Eustace Clarence Scrub, you know that guy? Same series of books. Same thing. He's just, He's not thankful for what he has. It just makes him a stinker. And we're not any better. Now, another thing, reason I think we struggle with thankfulness is we really don't realize how much of our life is a gift. Now, I read a quote this week. I probably mangled a little bit, but let me see if I can get it. So the author wrote, "We want the gift, but we don't want it as given." So think about this. So I think what the author is saying is this. Imagine, just in case you weren't aware, Christmas is coming. So we'll go jump Christmas. Hey, everybody, hey, I heard a whoop over there. Everybody's happy about Christmas. Right? Now, parents, imagine this scene, Christmas morning. You've done all the shopping thing. You go and you give the gift to your child, the whatever it is that they really want. I'm old, I don't know what the cool things are now. And you give it to them, and they unwrap it. And it's exactly what they wanted. And they embrace it to themselves, and I love it, I love it, I love it, but I hate you. That's unthankfulness. Right? It's no coincidence that Paul ties the lack of giving thanks and the honoring of God together there in Romans 1. Our lack of thankfulness is basically saying that to God. We want the gift. We don't want it as given. Most of us, I know most of you. If that was what was to happen on Christmas morning, I mean, I can see the tears that would flow from you, that your child would say, "I love the gift, but I detest the giver." Now, I know some of you pretty well. Some of you are saying, "Well, I know what I would do with that child." We got an answer for that. And you might have an answer, but inside, you'd be crushed. Do you realize how much of your life, really all of it, is a gift from God? Let's just prove the point. I promise this is not, we're not doing anything strange. It may seem strange. Follow my lead. Everybody, take a deep breath in. Breath out. Okay, breath in. Breath out. Gift from God. If you were to take your pulse, beat, beat. Mine's going fast. Beat, beat. Gift from God. 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 Another second. Another second. As you have with your husband, your wife. Another second you have with your children. Another second you have with your grandchildren. Another second you have with your friends. Do you realize that is all gift of God? You don't manufacture that. You can fight and struggle and try to maintain it, try to keep it. But if he removes his hand, it's gone. Hello, we just did Ecclesiastes, Westminster. And what's that? But you try to hold on to all those things. You try to control them. You try to make them stay. And it's the chasing after the wind. It's all gift. And if we really understood that, then maybe we would be a more thankful people. Now, I'm not here to beat you. Right? Thanksgiving sermon, he's going to be us. We need to be more thankful. We can say that every day of the year. There's nothing special about Thanksgiving. We could always be more thankful. But do we really understand how much of what we have is a gift of God? Or do we fall into the trap of thinking, "Well, I did the work, I put in the time, I put in the labor, I did this, and I did that, and so really it's what I did." Romans is confronting us with the fact that at our heart we struggle with thanksgiving and we struggle with honoring God. And we need to acknowledge that and be forthright about it. You know, it's easy to mouth the words. It's easy to say the right things. But do we really understand how much we have to be thankful for? And I say that knowing that there are those in this congregation who are struggling right now, that there is probably relationships that are broken and strained, that there are health issues, that there are financial issues, that there are all kinds of things that could become the focus of our lives, and we could say, well, because that one thing is going wrong, I have nothing to be thankful for. I acknowledge that. I would not want to deny that. I'm not asking you to live in fairy tale world like there aren't problems and struggles and difficulties. I am saying that even in the midst of those struggles and difficulties, we have much to give thanks for. And so really, what I want to do to conclude this morning, I want to practice what I preach. And I'm going to take my page from the Apostle Paul. You know, if you've read any of Paul's letters, and almost all of them, he begins, after his introductory salutations and things, he begins by giving thanks to God for the church. And that's what I want to do this morning. I want to give thanks to God for all of you, Westminster. And I want to be somewhat specific about it. I want to give thanks to God for Westminster because Westminster Presbyterian Church loves the Bible and pays me to study and teach it and preach it and counsel with it. Thank you. Thanks to God for you. We can give thanks for one another too. It's all thanks to God. I'm thankful. I'm thankful to God for Westminster Presbyterian Church because you sing with conviction. You know, most of you don't get the opportunity, most maybe you wouldn't want the opportunity, to be up here when we sing. I cannot tell you what a joy it is to be part of a church that sings and gives evidence of their thankfulness and their joy and their heartache and their struggle in the way that they sing with passion and conviction. Sing about the good glories. Sing about the wounds and the struggles. Sing about the sins. Sing about the Savior. I thank God for you for that. I give thanks to God for Westminster Church because you love kids. You know, there was a time, and it doesn't really have to do with whether you love kids or not, but in God's providence, where I know it's hard for some of you to imagine, the nursery wasn't overflowing. Go over at the old building, those of you who are newer, and it's the classroom, I think, Norville, that you're using for your Sunday school class. That was the nursery. The other room, which is being used for some other purpose now, was a sleeping nursery. And we had room to spare. I'm thankful that this church loves children. I just want you to, if you are 10 years old or younger, I want you to stand up right now. 10 years old and younger, stand up. If you have a baby and they can't stand, lift them high. Stand up. Come on. Hey, I see that one in the back. All right. And this is you got people traveling. Hey, you can't see them all because even when they stand up, they're not as tall as some of you. I mean, just think about how many of these kids have been, by God's grace, have been born into this church or brought into this church. You can sit down now. And there's kids out, there's kids in the nursery. I'm just thankful because I know that we could, for wanting our own comfort, for wanting our own, I got to focus. We could say, well, you know, kids, you know, they ding up walls and they spill stuff on carpets and they run around the halls and they're loud sometimes, and sometimes they're loud like now in the service and they're distracting and all that. I'm thankful that we provide a place, that you all provide a place where people can bring their kids. So if you're new here, this is not, the crying part is not new. So, but I'm thankful. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that I have kids who, my own kids and others, they want to be here. Because through you, they experience the love of Jesus. I give thanks to God for Westminster Presbyterian Church. Because you have walked well with me and my family in the deepest, darkest valley we have had to go through when we lost Knox. And you could have turned from us. I know you go, oh, how would we do that? But you could have. You could have said, it's too much. It's too deep. It's too dark. We don't want to go there because it exposes our own fears and exposes our own insecurities and exposes all the things that we're fearful of. It's easier to just pretend it doesn't exist. And you said, no, that's not what we're going to do. We're going to stand with the Andersons. We're going to uphold the Andersons. Even though it strikes us as some of the base fears that we have about our own lives and our own children and our own security. I'm thankful. I cannot express. The words are inadequate to express how thankful I am to you. I'm thankful to God, but I'm thankful to you that you have done that for us and continue to do that. I know when April and October come around every year, as they have a tendency to do, that the saints of this church are on their knees upholding us in prayer. I feel it. I know it. And I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful to God for you, that you love Jesus. And that means that you're willing to hear preaching about sin and rebellion, because you know that as we consider our sinfulness and we consider our rebellious hearts, as we dig deep into that muck and mire, that it only makes Jesus look that much greater. I'm thankful. I'm thankful to God for you. Because what this table shows forth, you embrace and you hold to and you cling to. My exhortation to you is, this Thanksgiving season, just once again, focus your eyes on Jesus and give thanks. For He is good, He is gracious, He is generous, and He and our Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit have given us all that we have. Let's pray together. Father, I confess, I'm often unthankful. Instead of looking at all that you have given me, all you have blessed me with, the very breath I breathe, the very heart that is beating in my chest right now and continues to do so, the food that I eat each day, the water that I drink, the friends that I have, the family that you've given me, I confess I forget those things and get focused on, well, wouldn't it be better if, instead of resting with joy and contentment in all the riches you've given us. Father, help us to do that. If it's at the heart of our struggle with sin that we don't honor you and we don't give thanks, then that means that's a place where we really need you to be doing your sanctifying work by your Spirit. So I pray that you would do that even as we partake of this table. In Jesus' name, amen.